Completion Run,
Fighting Maroons,
Isaw,
Sunken Garden,
Lantern Parade,
Uta,
Puso,
UP.
Pasok ka rito.
Tara sa kwentuhang may uta.
Kwentuhang may puso.
UP atin to.
Pasok na pasok ka rito at sana pasok din kami sa tanghalian nyo. Kwentuhang may utak, kwentuhang may puso. UP atin to. Ako po si Janine at for this episode ay specifically para sa ating komunidad. Ngayong araw po na ito ay pag-uusapan po natin ang naging developments din po ng mga efforts para protektahan at patatagin ang ating komunidad dito sa universidad. Kasama po natin ngayong kwentuhan sa tanghalian si Professor Aleli B. Bawagan, PhD, ang ating Vice Chancellor for Community Affairs. Magandang araw po, VC!
Magandang araw, Janine, at sa lahat ng mga nakikinig sa ating programa ngayong araw na ito.
Yun, VC Aleli, maraming salamat po sa pagpapaunlak. Alam po namin na busy din po kayo sa mga ginagawa po natin sa universidad. At thank you po for accepting our invitation na kwentuhan kami tungkol po sa COVID-19 task force po ng ating campus at yung pagpapatatag pa po ng ating komunidad. Siguro po bilang munting pagbabalik tanaw po, ano po ba yung UP Diliman COVID-19 Task Force at sino-sino po muli yung bumubuo sa grupo po na ito?
Maraming salamat sa mga tanong na ito. Oo nga, nakaisang taong anibersaryo na itong UP Diliman COVID Task Force. Oo. Naalala ko, March 8, ang unang meeting yata nito na ginanap sa balkonahe ni Chancellor Fidel Nimenso noong isang taon. Kauupulan din niya noon bilang chancellor at ito na nga ang bumungad sa kanyang termino, ang ating COVID pandemic. Ang pagbubuo ng COVID task force, talagang naisip na kinailangan ito upang tugunan ang mga usapin that will arise from this health pandemic. At maraming usapin ito kung kaya ang nabuong team ni Chancellor ay multidisciplinary. Bukod sa Chancellor, sa Vice Chancellors, sa lahat ng Vice Chancellors, syempre nandiyan ang ating University Health Service. And in a few months after nabuo ito, ay nagkaroon kami na member from the Philippine Genome Center. And pag sinabi ko multidisciplinary, we are composed of lawyers, may mga scientists, may health medical specialists, other academics. And once in a while, depending on the concern, we can invite other resource persons like data experts, statisticians, app developers. Ngayon, ang mga kausap naman namin ay mga taong tumutulong para sa vaccine rollout sa Quezon City or private service providers. Kaya yung mga ganoong klaseng multidisciplinary team talagang helps us in mga communication specialists. A multidisciplinary team really helps us look at a certain concern from different angles para kompleto rin yung pagbubuo ng solutions or proposed actions to be taken. So we have been meeting almost weekly. Minsan lang may mga hindi nangyayari kapag may ibang major activity. Pero as much as possible, we've been meeting weekly since almost a year now.
Opo, nag-anniversary na po tayo.
Nag-anniversary na.
Ayun po, ma'am, no? So kailangan din po talaga multi-level din po yung approach po natin dahil pandemya po siya at yung health po ng public health po ay maraming aspeto, hindi lang po mismo medical or health lang po talaga. So paano
Pero I would like also
Yes po,
I would
ma'am.
also
Go
like
ahead
to
po.
add na malaki rin yung tulong ng Public Health Unit of our University Health Service.
Yes po.
Sila talaga ang medyo in the forefront of this ano of this work at kasi nga part of their work now is really coordinating for the swab testing, contact tracing, community engagement, coordinating with barangay, coordinating with Quezon City health offices, etc.
Ayun po, at nabanggit nyo na nga po yung coordination. Ano? Paano po tayo, paano po yung ugnayan po na yun ng task force sa ating local government units?
Oo, parang meron namang organic coordination talaga ang University Health Service with Quezon City Health Units, with of course with PGH, si para meron silang regular reporting sa mga ito. UHS did not exist in a vacuum. They had a lot of coordinative and administrative and regulatory relationships with different with DOH, Quezon City, and of course with the barangay. Sa barangay kasi ang Barangay Health Emergency Response Team or yung BERT na tinatawag na talagang naririnig natin siya since last year itong Barangay Health Emergency Response Team. So we coordinate with them kasi ang ating cases have to be reported on a daily basis to Quezon City and to the barangay. Hindi pwedeng i-atin-atin lang ito. So it has to be reported sa DOH DOH mechanism from the barangay to the city, to the region, etc.
Ayun po. So mahalaga po talaga yung coordinating dun po sa other, ano po, no? Sa other administrative. Kumbaga yung mas mataas po sa atin dahil part po tayo ng mas malaking komunidad. At, opo. So, nabanggit nyo nga po na 1 year na nga po tayo dito. Tapos, gusto ko lang din po itanong, ma'am, ano, na nagkaroon po ng hashtag na Kapit Diliman yung ano yung yung ating universidad, at nag-change po yun, I think around July po ay naging Tatag UP naman po yung ano yung hashtag na ito, parang in a way campaign po siya. So bakit po nag-transition ng ganun po yung ating ano hashtag ganyan?
Oo, I think we thought it would be on a more positive image, yata mas positive ang image ng Tatag kaysa Kapit. Parang Kapit, you are drowning and you are holding on to something for dear life, di ba?
Yes,
parang
ganun
yung makapit ka sa ano. So we thought parang mas maganda yung image na Tatag. We have to develop our programs around that image. Kailangan natin patatagin ang ating sarili as an academic institution, as a community. And so yung ating yung framework of response somehow also tumugon siya doon sa main hashtag na yan o hashtag Tatag UP. Maybe yung Kapit Diliman was there sa umpisa dahil nga parang we were maraming usapin sa umpisa, alam mo na, biglang nagsara at ang daming estudyante na strand on campus.
Opo, sudden change po talaga.
Biglang nagsara ang mga tindahan, walang makainan. So paano ang response sa mga ito? Ang construction workers na biglang naiwan ng kanilang mga contractors, walang pagkain. So parang kailangan natin kumapit muna bago tayo malunod. At pero then again, ang daming tinugunan at the first few months, yung mga ganyan na parang iba't ibang sectors natin, nataranta rin siguro tayo, or we did not know how to respond when we had this enhanced community quarantine starting March. And then, yun. But somehow, when we sort of tried to get our acts together at talaga ano ang mas maayos na messaging, we finally decided on hashtag the tag.
Ayun po, so parang kumbaga naging anchor na po natin siya, no, na strengthening our community po yung gagawin nating movement. Tama po ba, Missy?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Mm-mm. So ano po eh, over the course of the months din po, nabanggit nyo nga po yung Tatag UP strengthening our community po. Paano din po nagbago yung pangangailangan ng ating community? Parang nakailang move na din po tayo sa iba't ibang community quarantine. So paano din po nag-iba yung pangangailangan po ng ating komunidad?
From March to May, I think that was the ECQ period na talagang yun yung pinakasabi natin, very strictest lockdown natin, and there were we then adopted yung maraming work from home arrangements, no? We really only allowed essential services on campus, maraming work from home. Alam natin walang sasakyan noon.
Yes po.
Walang public commute, I mean, walang public transport. Most offices on lockdown, most commercial establishments on lockdown. And so we adopted work from home arrangements for many of our staff. And then students, wala tayong nag-remote classes na kayo. Or almost like the classes, almost like we're ending na nung March. Parang biglang kailangan natin tapusin. But then when the MECQ happened in June naman, that's when we adopted the post-ECQ guidelines. We allowed more people to come to the office but on a staggered basis. Hindi sila pwedeng sabay-sabay. We asked the offices to review their workspaces to allow for sufficient distancing between staff who will report for work. Kasi parang mahirap na magpatuloy nung lockdown kasi there were a lot of paperwork that had to be, that were stalled.
Opo. Mm-hmm.
Kung kaya we allowed additional people to come in, pero parang hindi lahat pa rin yun. And then that was, I think, June. And then nung nag-GCQ na tayo naman ng November, I think that was yung mas nag-increase na ang number of days na pwede mag-report. Na-increase na to from 3 days, I think from 2 days a week dati to 3 days a week pwede na pumasok physically reporting ilang staff. And hanggang ngayon, ganoon naman ang ating kwan, ganoon naman ang ating arrangements. Pero again, in November, we also allowed senior citizens to come to the office, lalo na kung wala naman sila mga sakit. Dati-rati in June, hindi pa pwede ang senior citizens, 60 above, hindi pa pwede pumasok. But in November, they were already allowed to physically report to office. And then, hindi naman lahat na may comorbidities even those with comorbidities pwedeng pumasok as long as those were comorbidities na hindi nilagay sa listahan. Meron tayo mga nilagay na mga comorbidities talaga na hindi pwede, like uncontrolled hypertension. Kasi meron namang hypertensive pero controlled, yun, I think pwedeng pumasok yung mga ganyan. So we already made a few adjustments in November. Alam rin natin na starting in March, nag-develop na yung mga iba't ibang offices of ways that they can provide services na hindi kailangan face-to-face ang transaction.
Mm-mm.
So much of the forms and the services could now be conducted on remotely. You can submit your request online. You can submit your documents online. It can be approved online. And yan, lalo na halimbawa yung enrollment. Who would have thought noon that we could do enrollment, everything online until payment, na you don't Opo. Have to come to school, di ka kailangan pumila physically. So maraming naging adjustments sa ating CRS for that to be handled efficiently, I would say efficiently. Of course, meron ding sabit once in a while dahil nga it was tested lamang itong last first sem when we opened in August or September tayo nag-open. And then again, this year, na nag-registration ulit tayo ng January. So maraming services for students, application for scholar, aside from enrollment, submission of grades, etc. Even application for student scholarships, yan, pwede na rin yan lahat online. Even University Health Service did their telemedicine.
Mm-mm.
So pwede ka magpabook na appointment if you feel something wrong. Magpabook ka na appointment sa mga doctors. They will consult with you via online, remote, mag-usap kayo, video, teleconference, etc. So maraming administrative functions were shifted to a new platform para hindi maputuloy pag-provide natin ng services. Bukod doon, our community engagement, ating awareness raising in communities also continued. Lalo na nung first 3 months, no? And even I think until the third quarter of 2020, patuloy yung community education natin. We did yung mga ronda, community sessions. Marami rin mga nag-volunteer na mga estudyante and staff who help sa mga community sessions. Merong nabuong COVID-19 response volunteers. Tumutulong din sila sa mga distribution ng mga ayuda. Pero malaki talaga yung kailangan gawing community awareness about the virus, about its transmission, how we can keep ourselves safe. So we produced flyers, mga ilang posters, social media. It was very helpful. Pero talaga yung community sessions at pagroronda ng mga tao para sabihin anong dapat gawin, anong dapat i-maintain at distance, etc. Yan. Okay. Yan yung, I think, mga major na nagawa. Of course, we opened the as a response to cases on campus of positive COVID patients, we opened Kandungan Palma sometime in April. Yes, malaking tulong nito ng ACTAS 1PH to provide some of the facilities like beds, testing kits, etc. And then later on, around May or June, that was closed. And then we opened in August itong Silungan Molave naman. And until now, it is still open.
Yes po.
And accepting, of course, may limitations sa pagtanggap ng pasyente sa Silungan Molave dahil hindi naman ito ospital. So It's not open for senior citizens. It's not open for people with comorbidities. Ganyan. Pero marami-rami rin, lalo yung mga asymptomatic, pwedeng-pwede yan sila sa Molave. Early part of the pandemic, we opened our facilities for healthcare workers from Lung Center of the Philippines. If you remember na
yes,
walang
po,
transportation, di ba? But they have to report to work, ganoon.
Opo. Kasi frontliners po sila.
At yung iba malalayo ang bahay. So we opened a few facilities here for their dormitories. Dito sila umuwi and meron lang silang shuttle to bring them back to Lung Center kapag meron silang duty. So yun, naging parang tahanan rin nila and for a time ang ating campus, I think until December, yung mga taga Lung Center.
Opo. Binuksan po natin temporarily po yung ating community para po magbigay din po ng shelter sa mga frontliners
yes.
na wala pong mapuntahan din. Opo. At para
hindi lang para sa kanila, even our health workers from the University Health Service
yes,
malalayo
po.
Ang bahay.
Mm-mm.
We also opened a few dormitory rooms for them. Ang ibang med techs rin ng Philippine Genome Center, especially when they hired a lot of med techs because they were doing also swab testing.
Po, opo.
Oo. At ang marami sa kanila ay out of campus nakatira. So we opened dormitory rooms also for them.
Ayun po.
So parang we were on all fronts, no? We were on health direct services, and then indirectly for the health workers, and then administratively we had to shift to the online platforms, and then we did community engagement, and then of course we have our regular communication. Parang that was one major work talaga na hindi dapat iwanan, na i-communicate whatever it is to the public.
Opo, lalo na po yung mga mahalagang updates or may changes po sa ating mga protocols po, di ba, inside po the community or sa campus po natin.
Uh-oh.
So, yes po, no? Marami nga po talaga tayong ginagawa para to protect and strengthen our community. Kasama pa rin po natin si Professor Aleli B. Bawagan, Vice Chancellor for Community Affairs. VC, thank you po for staying with us sa kwentuhan po na ito.
Thank you.
Yes po. Kanina po nabanggit na po natin ano, yung different approaches po din na ginawa ng task force para po i-address po yung pangangailangan ng ating komunidad. So nabanggit niyo na din po sa ibang mga interviews ano, sobrang unique po ng UP community dahil maliban po sa manggagawa, estudyante at faculty, meron po talaga tayong mga residente sa loob mismo ng ating campus. Paano po ito nakaapekto? Paano po ito nakaapekto sa galaw at pagde-decision po ng task force tungkol sa mga panukala, protocols at iba pa po?
Oo. Nabanggit ko sa iyo kanina na meron tayong nabuong COVID-19 response volunteers. Na composed rin of students and staff and some faculty. At sila ang direktang tumutulong sa ilang mga purok natin for the community awareness awareness raising sessions na ginawa on COVID-19. Hindi nga natin maihihiwalay para hindi natin pwede i-focus lang sa academic community, but also itong physical community na natin na ang daming purok ng Barangay UP campus, at hindi man natin sila work staff dito sa campus pero kasama natin sila araw-araw.
Yes po.
Bukod doon, sila rin ang ating mga drivers, nandiyan din nakatira ating mga PUJ drivers, ikot drivers, nandiyan din ang ating mga samahan ng mga maninindi, nandiyan din yung mga naglalabandera sa mga dormitories, mga nagtitinda ng mga banana peel. So, hindi man sila empleyado ng campus, pero they are part of us in our community. Pag nagutom ka, nandiyan sila at nagtitinda ng ating mga banana queue, mga noodles, mga fish balls, etc. Diba? So parang bahagi talaga natin. Kung kaya yung gawain natin of community engagement ay kasama natin ang ating community para tumugon doon. Malaking impact rin syempre ng pandemic sa kanila. Sila ay mga construction workers, tricycle drivers, jeepney drivers, maninindi, sila ay mga ang naglalabandera, sila ay mga, yung mga ganong klaseng trabaho na natigil rin during the very strict lockdown. Kung kaya yung ayuda na binigay ng gobyerno ay parang dinagdagan ng ating mga other volunteers. Hindi lang tayo eh. Maraming alumni ang tumugon sa panawagan para sa mga ayuda sa jeepney drivers, for example. Mga alumni talaga tumulong sa kanila, no? Dahil nga alam nila na si Manong driver nagda-drive sa kanila noon papunta sa iba't ibang buildings natin. So they pitched in cash para mabigyan ng tulong itong mga group of drivers natin. At maraming grupo ito. Iko, Toki, Pantrangko, Filcoa, Katipunan, SM North. So parang anim na ruta ito na iba't ibang asosasyon ng mga drivers. At sumalaki ang tulong ng mga alumni para sa kanila. Bukod doon, sa mga communities din, malaki rin ang tulong ng mga iba pang sectors na pumunta para mabigay ng either food aid or let's say medical aid. Minsan ang bibigay sila ng mga hygiene kits, ganyan. At a later point, I think yung group of alumni even raised enough cash to support children of drivers para makabilis lang ng gadgets dahil nga ang mga
online classes na po.
Learning for elementary and high school at ang mga drivers natin na maraming anak, hindi naman nila kaya bumili ng bawat isang bata may isang gadget. Kaya meron rin mga ilang alumni tayo who help talaga to raise funds for that. Marami rin student organizations who help in raising funds for either their colleagues who were stranded here or mga tao sa community. Minsan, alam mo naman mga estudyante natin ay napapamahal din sa communities dahil pupunta sila doon, bumibisita, minsan nag-hold din sila ng kanilang mga awareness raising sessions sa community. Talagang malaking tulong din yun. And then as I mentioned also, malapit rin naman tayo sa Barangay UP Campus. Dahil kapitbahay lang natin sila, ang mga staff, they live on campus, ang mga staff ang mga staff ng barangay nakatira lang din dito o kaya ang mga staff natin ay anak ng mga taga-barangay officials. So meron very close link talaga kaya hindi natin maiwasan na meron tayong tulungan pagdating sa community. Magsasabi tayo sa barangay na ang bilang po, let's say, ng ayuda ninyo ay kulang dahil ganito ang bilang namin. Or let's say, we can mobilize other resources para mabigay naman doon sa mga hindi nabigyan. So may mga ganun talaga tayong naging pagtulong pagdating sa community. Hindi pwedeng baliwalain natin sila.
Ayun po, no? So last year po, VC, na kung naalala nyo po, nagkaroon din po tayo ng malalang weather conditions po dahil po sa mga bagyo. Paano din po naka-apekto po yun meron na nga po tayong pandemic tapos meron pa po tayong mga disaster na na-experience?
Totoo yun. Pero then again, nakikita mo rin ulit yung spirit of volunteerism na natin dito sa UP. Ang mga student organizations on their own, lalo na yung mga regional-based organizations, kunwari mga taga Bicol, or taga Cagayan, or taga Rizal, meron tayong mga ganyan, di ba? Sila raise funds on their own through their very social media, through their alumni members. Tayo naman, we launched the hashtag Burunyog Isko.
Opo.
Yung Burunyog, Burunyog is a Bicolano term for tulungan. So this became a tulungan sa kapwa isko. Kami yata ni VC Luje ang parang nag-head doon sa committee na ito together with other offices of OVCCA, OVCSA, Biliman Information Office. Of course, the Office of the Chancellor talaga rin ang nanguna dito. We decided na hindi na kami mag-gather ng mga material support like mga damit, mga pagkain. Pero we just linked donors to those who we knew were collecting material support. Ang una talaga namin, ang primary namin was a fund donation drive. And that was primarily directed to students, kapwa scholar ng bayan natin from Catanduanes State University. It was one of the hardest hit talaga. Hardest hit provinces in Bicol for both Typhoon Rolly and Ulysses. So we contacted the university president and he referred us to the Catanduanes State University Employees Association headed by their faculty regent. And so doon tayo nakipag-usap kung paano makakatulong ang UP sa kanila. Masaya naman sila kasi sabi nila first time nangyari yun that we reached out to them. Parang state you to state you na lang ang ginawa natin. And we were able to raise funds to help the staff. So yung staff parang nabigyan ng Noche Buena package.
Opo, Christmas package.
Christmas, parang we raised funds in November and December, and we were able to send money in time for Noche Buena package. At
opo,
para sa students naman, ang kanilang, kasi syempre sila nakakaalam na ano ang needs. For the students naman, ang nabigay na, ang nabigay nating pondo ay binili naman nila ng something like hygiene kits, mga toothbrush, mga soap, toothpaste, shampoo, etc. Yun naman ang para sa mga estudyante. So we were happy with that support na nabigay natin sa Catanduano State University. Sa atin namang mga estudyante who were in Bicol, who were in Rizal, I mean, who are at that
apo, yung nakatira po sila doon. Opo.
Nakatira na sila doon sa panahon ng bagyo. Sa Bicol, sa Rizal, sa Cagayan, sa Isabela. Nagbigay naman tayo ng financial support. Dinaan natin sa GCash or sa Paymaya nila or sa banko nila.
Opo.
So parang fund transfer na lang ang ginawa natin doon. Ang OVCSA ang naka-identify naman ng alin ang mga estudyante who needed financial support. And we also gave some funds to student organizations who were doing their own relief efforts. So talagang kahit amidst the pandemic, alam naman natin na parang nakasanayan na rin naman natin sa UP that we do work of this kind, lalo na kung
opo,
dati-rati yung Ondoy, wala ka pa siguro sa UP ng panahon ng Ondoy or Sudyante ka. We help nearby communities dito sa Rizal, sa Montalban, sa San Mateo, kasi mga kapitbahay natin sila, or sa Fairview, etc. So this time, medyo malayo ang inabot natin dahil doon talaga malakas ang tama ng Rolly at UBC sa Bicol. And then it went up to Cagayan, yung sobrang baha sa Cagayan at Isabela. So marami rin tayong estudyante na umuwi na doon since March at nagsabing kung paano tayo makakatulong. Yan.
Ayun po. So,
maaari ba magpasalamat sa lahat na nag-donors
sure
natin
po, ma'am,
sa hashtag Burunyog Isko. At sa lahat ng donors doon sa COVID response natin, malaking tulong talaga po yan. Salamat.
Ayun po. Visi, itutuloy-tuloy na po natin yung mga tanong, ano?
Sige.
Opo. Ngayon po, paano din po yung, ano po yung kasalukuyang direction po ng task force po natin in light of the new variants po ng virus? Tapos, meron po, di ba, na recommendation na mag-transition po yung Metro Manila from GCQ to MGCQ. So, mas maluwag po na community quarantine.
Okay. Ang mga nagiging usapan namin, I think, since last month, or I think at the start of the year pa lang, na banggit na namin kay President Concepcion about ano ba ang plano ng UP for vaccine rollout. So ang UP system, may antas naman ang pag-uusap sa UP system. In fact, they released a survey for
opo. I think nag-answer po ako doon.
Oo. So merong survey ang system. Nagpa-survey din ang UP Diliman. That survey was facilitated by UP, by our COVID task force. Bukod sa survey, ang survey syempre nais nating alamin sino talaga ang nangangailangan, sino may interest, sino ang kasi may iba nagsasabing ayaw nila, takot sila.
Hesitant po sila. Opo.
Hesitant, hindi naniniwala, or kaya basta may mga ibang reasons. Pero marami rin naman ang nagsabing kailangan nila at interesado sila to avail if we do our own rollout. So yan yung in terms of survey. In terms of mga usap, nag-usap na tayo. Nakakausap natin ang Quezon City. Si Mayor Belmonte, and she's also very supportive. Parang if they do their procurement, pwede nila tayong maisama.
Maisabay pa.
So nandun tayo sa talks on how that can be done. Na maisama tayo as Quezon City residents, or even if not residents but working in Quezon City. So meron tayo ongoing talks with Quezon City LGU. meron rin tayong ongoing talks with Unilab and with another private group who are also, parang meron silang talks with government that they can also do their own, parang tutulong sila to help procure some vaccines from other countries, ganyan. So nandoon tayo sa usap pa lang. Usap.
Opo.
And see what can be done. See what can be done in terms of, let's say, is it possible for UP to provide free vaccines? Is it possible for UP to subsidize vaccines? Is it possible for UP to be a vaccination hub in Quezon City? Is it possible for us to... yeah, so parang nandun pa tayo. Wala pa tayong sinasarang usapan. Exploratory lahat ng mga talks na ginagawa ngayon. In terms of ano naman, potential shift to MGCQ, ang magiging usapan natin dyan is each unit or each office has to inspect its own available working space. If kakayanin for more people to come in, let's say from 3 days to 5 days, that means sapat ba ang space sa office natin? Kung hindi sapat ang space, are there sufficient equipment to allow for open ventilation, open airflow, para hindi stagnant yung airflow in a specific workspace? And if not, dapat ba mag-procure na tayo ng mga filters, ng mga ventilators, etc.? So yun yung kailangan natin i-review before we really open up again our offices to more people. Alam mo naman yung spike natin on campus is...
Yes,
meron tayong transmission in certain offices, no? And kailangan talagang i-review ulit yung, lalo na yung mga tao who are physically reporting but are commuting to work.
Yes,
so medyo may dagdag risks, dagdag risks sa kanila yun. Alam mo, hindi ko pala nakwento, but we've always wanted to do the shuttle service
for our
employees. So we started discussing this August pa lang. And then I think yung isang naging bias was to help our transport, our PUJ drivers.
Opo.
So ang design is really to use PUJs at hindi yung closed shuttle aircon vans, no? But
our dapat PUJ drivers. Open so, po kasi yun sa may ventilation po.
Open, umabot na tayo sa... Tapos ng procurement na award na doon sa jeepney operator, identified na ang routes, identified na yung mga staff na sasakay sa bawat jeep, anong oras sila masusundo, saan susunduin, anong oras sila kukunin from their offices para ihatid muli. So medyo yung ganoong logistical aspect ay in place na. Ang inaantay na lang natin yung approval ng LTFRB permit for the shuttle. Na medyo nahirapan. Alam naman natin na medyo ayaw na nila ng traditional jeepneys kung may plano to phase out. So medyo we have to somehow appeal to them na our jeepneys na gagamitin for shuttle are roadworthy.
Yes po.
Gusto natin tulungan ng hanap buhay ang mga drivers natin. Kasi ang mga staff na ito, they live in Antipolo, they live in Maynila, they live somewhere in Monumento, Bulacan.
Po, iba-iba po talaga yung...
Iba-iba. So meron na tayong mga ruta na na-identify. Pero August, ilang months na? 8 months na since we started talks on this. Wala pa kaming first jeepney na naipapalabas. Yun talaga.
Yung ano yun po, talaga, no, medyo na-stall po tayo dun sa pagkuha po natin ng permit.
Na-stall talaga doon. Pero hindi pa naman kami nag-give up.
Laban po.
We're still hoping to papakinggan tayo ng LTFRB to allow traditional jeepneys for shuttle service.
Ayun. So ako po personally, nasa South din po ako ngayon. We are recording po over the screen with VC Aleli. So kung matutuloy, sana po matuloy po yung shuttle para po maka-avail po.
Oo. Meron nga kaming ruta banda dyan eh, hanggang Makati, hanggang Mandaluyong, para meron kami ruta na gagawin dyan. Kasi syempre, ang mga jeepneys natin will be out of route, diba? Out of route kasi kunwari Katipunan sila.
Opo.
Biglang pupunta sila ng Santa Lucia, biglang pupunta sila ng Masina kasi yun yung shuttle route. So we need to get permission for that. Na hindi sila masita ng MMDA ganyan. So yun ang inaantay natin para matuloy itong shuttle service.
Ayun po. So isa din po tanong para po sa yung current po natin, kumbaga yung status po natin ngayon, paano po ba yung protocol po natin VC pagdating po sa contact tracing? Nabanggit nyo nga po kanina, nagkaroon din po ng spike sa mga offices po inside the university. Paano po yung contact tracing, swabbing, ganyan, pagpapadala po sa mga isolation facility? You mentioned na nga po kanina na meron na po tayong sarili nating community isolation facility, which is Silungang Molave po.
Oh yes. Around September last year, we had this targeted testing for staff who were physically reporting. Before we did the targeted testing, we had to have a risk profile of the staff, whether based on their work, were they very high risk personnel, were they high risk, or were they medium risk? Of course, yung mga work from home, low risk talaga yon. So based on their own analysis of their work, on their work environment, may mga nakategorize na very high risk. Very high risk itong mga tao sa University Health Service.
Of course, talagang they
face patients. So very high risk personnel natin, or those from Philippine Genome Center, or those in Molave, or those mga messengers natin, very high risk sila kasi they move from office to office dahil nagde-deliver sila ng mga dokumento.
Opo.
Ang swabbing nila ay every month. So meron tayong protocol na they have to be swabbed every month. Yun namang very high risk, they will be swabbed every 2 months. At yung moderate risk will be swabbed once they develop some or once they observe symptoms. Ganyan.
So
parang
po.
It's part of our own community protection. Kapag talagang high risk ka, dapat every 2 months magpa-testing tayo dito sa Molave. So we have our own swabbing facility also there in Molave. And we do swabbing daily on weekdays. Usually that's done from 7 to 8 a.m. And
opo, that may has window to be scheduled. Time
po. Oh, hindi ito pwedeng walk-in. So each one who wants to be swabbed has to fill out a case investigation form na nandun ang mga ilang basic information. Nandun rin yung sino mga close contacts mo. And isi-schedule ka ng PHU kung kailan ka pwede maswab. We only do that in the morning because we want to bring the kits agad to Philippine Genome Center to be analyzed.
Opo, para mabilis po yung results.
Para mabilis rin makuha ang results. So that's the categories of risk, and then the swab testing. And then if you are tested for positive, sasabihan ka kaagad ng nurse na lumabas na po ang resulta nyo, kayo po ay nag-positive, and you have to observe the following, etc., etc. And then kakausapin kanila if you want to stay in Molave if you don't have sufficient isolation in your own house kung wala available ang Molave, o kaya i-refer tayo ng PHU sa ibang nearest isolation facility. So ipa-facilitate din niya ng PHU kung saan ka pwedeng dadalhin. Ang minsan, ang ginagawa nila, susunduin ka ng ambulansya sa bahay mo, dadalhin ka doon sa isolation facility or sa ospital. Sila na rin ang nagpo-coordinate sa ospital. Sila magsasabi okay sa ospital, pwede sa lung center, for example, tatawag sila doon na meron kaming dadalhin pasyente, etc., etc. So pwede sabihin na lung center, puno kami, hindi kami pwedeng tumanggap. Magkahanap na naman sila ng ibang ospital na kung saan pwede mag-refer ng pasyente. So they have a whole network of referral hospitals from University Health Service or isolation facilities kung hindi naman nangangailangan ng hospitalization talaga.
Mm-mm.
So meron niya silang network at sila ang magsusundo at maghahatid sa iyo doon sa mga facilities na yan. Sino nga nabanggit ko, may limitation ng ating Molave dahil wala naman tayong mga oxygen tanks dyan. Wala tayong... hindi tayo ospital eh. So, kung ma-observe nila na pwede ka dyan, sasabihin nila sa iyo, pwede ka dito sa Molave. Pero because they think, for example, bumababa ang oxygen level mo or you show other symptoms na baka it can develop to a further mas extreme situation, di kanila tatanggap eh, i-refer kanila. So very cautious ang mga doctors natin sa Molave facility natin.
Opo.
Nagpapasalamat rin tayo siyempre sa Chancellor for providing funds for this kasi kailangan ng pondo ito, hiring doctors, hiring nurses, hiring contact tracers. Yung contact tracers rin are also very efficient. For example, ako makatanggap ako ng text na kayo po ay close contact. Kayo po ay nakasulat na close contact. Hindi nila sasabihin ko sino. Hindi nila sasabihin ko sino yung nag-refer sa akin na close contact ako. And sasabihin, pwede po mag-isolate muna kayo. And then observe yourself. So I don't have to be necessarily swabbed agad. Sasabihin nila, mag-isolate po muna kayo, ganyan, ganyan. But if you develop some symptoms, you can come to us, etc. For example, may nag-positive sa land bank. I think that was December.
Apo, inside our campus po na branch, ano?
Oo, inside our campus. Alam natin na pagpunta ka sa land bank, you fill out a certain form, ano ang contact details mo, etc. Nung nag-develop, nung nag-positive yung isang tao doon, so si ating contact tracers, kinuha itong mga sheets na ito from land bank para malaman sino yung mga tao at
na nagpunta certain po
days,
doon. Opo.
At certain days that the positive personnel nila was infectious. Kasi nabibilang nila yun eh.
Opo.
How many days prior to your positive testing ka-infectious. So yung lahat ng mga tao na bumisita sa land bank within those days, tinawagan or tinext ng contact tracer natin. So isa ako doon sa na-text niya na please ano isolate po muna, nandun kayo sa land bank noong infectious yung pasyente, etc., etc. So of course tayo, we really have to be very responsible na okay, hindi mo alam if you been infected, kung contagious ka. So you really just observe anong sasabihin ng contact tracer na mag-ano tayo, mag-isolate.
Opo, mag-self-quarantine po.
So we have funds to hire them. We have funds for them to communicate. We have funds for them to encode all of this in a database. So data experts help them develop a report, etc. Yan.
Apo. So ano?
Mabuti't marami tayong volunteer faculty rin who help the public health unit develop their database para makagawa sila ng weekly report to us, daily report to other offices, etc.
Ayun po, ano? So ang protocol po natin sa universidad pag na-text ka na meron pong close contact po kayo ay magsa-self isolate po kayo and then kung kailangan, pag nag-exhibit po ng symptoms, saka po tayo magpapaschedule ng swabbing. Tama po ba, VC? Para lang po maalala po natin. Lalo na po sa mga tagapakinig po natin sa komunidad. Yes po.
Malaking tulong rin yung ating health liaison officers at yung ating post-ECQ teams. I think nung lalo na nung MECQ nung June na na-physically report yung mga tao, na activate natin yung health liaison officers per unit. So they've been very active attending town hall meetings, webinars on COVID. We had a town hall meeting with them to discuss targeted testing. We had another town hall meeting with them to discuss mass testing. Si ating health liaison officers at post-ECQ team members, talaga magpapasalamat rin tayo. They're the ones in each unit who monitor the situation per unit. Sa kanila, nagko-communicate ang mga nurses din. Kung meron na positive from their unit, ano rin ang protocols for disinfection ng mga units. Naglabas rin tayo ng mga ganyang protocols. How many days you have to close down your office in case there's a positive staff. Anong gagawin in terms of reporting to public health unit. Ano rin ang gagawin in terms of contact tracing, etc. So, parang extension rin ito ng public health unit sa bawat opisina natin.
Opo. So siguro ano, last question na lang po, VC, ano po ba yung hinaharap ng COVID-19 task force po natin? Meron po ba tayong plano na magkaroon po ng permanent task force para po sa mga public health emergencies po sa ating community?
Oo nga. We thought parang hindi natapos, no? Yung
Obo, kasi pa
parang trabaho. Parang tuloy-tuloy yung at the start of the year, yun na nga ang sabi ko, ang usapin naman ang vaccines, potential for vaccine rollout. Of course, yung new variants. And we always get updated by Philippine Genome Center if a positive case na galing sa ating staff ay new variant ba yung nakikita nila sa kanilang pagtitrace, etc. So we get updated there. Parang patuloy ang ating need to communicate, disseminate information to our public, to our constituents. And I think maganda ma-document itong karanasan ng COVID task force natin. Marami na mga health experts na sasabing this will not be the last pandemic.
Opo.
So yung documentation talaga of what we've done, and we somehow started that documentation. We submitted our entry to a call for government best practice on COVID-19 response.
Parang ayun.
Sabi natin, sige, submit tayo, tingnan natin kung how we can share. We don't have to get the award, pero gusto lang natin i-share what we did as an academic institution.
Opo.
So we submitted that, I think, last year. And halos na document natin from the framework that we use, from the various activities of the different units. Kung balikan ko lang, parang apat na functions talaga yon to minimize the impact of COVID-19. Una, health and safety. We had to ensure good health and safety of our community. We wanted to ensure adequate and continuous flow of UP Diliman services. Kaya yung sinabi ko kanina na transferring to online platforms na Diliman services. And then we wanted to support, of course, academic and research functions. Di pwedeng maputol ang pagtuturo. That's why we have remote learning, online enlistment, online registration. Patuloy rin ang research functions natin, nagpapatuloy ang fieldwork, nagpapatuloy ang mga laboratories natin. Of course, with observing health protocols. And then the fourth one is promoting effective communication. So itong response framework na to,
ang batayan best practices natin. Po natin.
for documenting the best practices. So we hope to magpatuloy ang documentation. People are writing that in terms of journal articles siguro and submission to various journals. We are also doing our own continuous webinars. Ang system has a weekly webinar ng mga UP experts for continuous information dissemination, etc. Parang what UP is doing as a response to the pandemic. Hindi naman natin mapitigil yan dahil papel naman natin ang not just teaching and research but also public service. Hindi natin nalilimutan yan sa ngayon sa panahon ng pandemya.
Parang mas na-magnify pa po, VC, yung konsepto ng para sa bayan po talaga yung mga ginagawa po natin. Hindi lang po para sa ating community. Opo.
Yes, oo. Siyempre, hindi ko nababanggit yung madami sa ating mga experts ang nandyan sa National Task Force. Andyan sina Dr. Saloma, of course, sina Dr. Legaspi ng PGH. Ang mga faculty natin who are members of OCTA Research are always providing their data information to the National Task Force, etc. Marami tayong sa iba't ibang aspeto ay tumutulong on the ground, in policy, etc.
Ayun po, no? So talagang nagpapatuloy pa nga po itong strengthening our community kasi hindi pa po tapos pa din yung pandemic po at nandito pa rin po tayo sa COVID-19 health crisis po natin. Siguro VC,
yes,
last
Janine.
Opo, last na lang po. Any last reminders po para po sa ating community?
Oo. Sa pagkakataon na ito, gusto kong i-remind ang mga tao, maganda siguro banggitin yung figures ng Quezon City. No? Sa Quezon City noong February 23, ang active cases ay 947. Noong March 9, a few days ago, halos dumoble ito to 1,816. Sa atin, sa Barangay UP, we only had 7 in February 19. Noong March 10, nag-26 tayo. Nakaka-alarma talaga ang mga numero na ito, kung kaya mahalagang balik-balikan natin ang ating pag-remind sa isa't isa, sa mga kapitbahay, sa mga kasambahay natin, ng minimum health protocols of wearing face mask. Kahit mainit, kahit mahirap huminga, face shield, pampadagdag, hirap paghinga pa rin, pero paghugas ng kamay, pag-keep ng physical distancing, pag-avoid ng interaction muna pansamantala, kaya natin sinara muna ang ating public spaces. Pagkain na sabay-sabay ng lunch, kung kaya maiwasan na kanya-kanya na lang muna tayo muli. At paghugas ng kamay. Ano pa nga ba?
Opo, so basically po yung basic health protocols po, no, yung standard po.
Going back to basics ulit tayo. Avoid crowding. Kung bibili kayo ng mga fish balls, huwag na kayo kakain sa harap ng tindera. Bumalik kayo sa mga opisina ninyo, etc. Kung pwedeng bumalik sa pagdala ng sarili nating baon.
Opo, magbaon.
Oo, tama. Talagang avoid crowding, coming together, gathering, etc.
Opo, nako, lalo na po sa pagkain po talaga, no, sa Philippines, sa culture po kasi natin, sobrang halaga nung eating together. So siguro po sa atin po mga kasali, nako, mag-video call na lang po siguro tayo habang kumakain para po maiwasan pa po yung transmission po natin, di ba po, VC? Opo, nako, maraming salamat po, VC Aleli, for joining us po.
Maraming salamat, Janine. Maraming salamat, DZUP. At maraming salamat din sa lahat ng mga nakikinig ngayong araw.
Muli, maraming salamat po kay VC Aleli for joining us for this episode today tungkol sa pagpapatatag ng ating komunidad dito sa universidad at kung paano ba natin ito madadala, no, sa pag-aalaga din sa iba pang komunidad outside of our own immediate community. Maraming salamat po muli. At of course, mga kasali, abangan ang mga susunod pang episodes na puno ng kwentuhang may utak, kwentuhang may puso. UP Atento dito sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Kwentuhang may utak.
Kwentuhang may puso.
UP Atento. Lunes hanggang Biyernes sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!